You'll now open your Bibles with me to the New Testament book of Ephesians in chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul, having laid out in the first part of this letter to the church in Ephesus the foundation for their faith, continues to bring out these practical applications or implications of what it means to walk with the Lord, and particularly to walk in the Spirit. As we come to Ephesians chapter 5, we'll be looking particularly this evening at verses 18 through 21. But for context, I'll begin reading in verse 15 and read through verse 21. Beginning then, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, hear the word of our God. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. As far as the reading of God's holy word, let us pray. God, you have spoken to us. This is your word, breathed out by you. Use it now to instruct us. Work in us by your Holy Spirit. Cause us to understand the truth of your word and to be thankful to you, the God who has given it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I promised my children earlier that I would ask them a question beginning at the beginning of this sermon. And so I'll ask the question now. So children, we've got quite a few children here. Some of them have come with us. I want to ask you, what are we celebrating tomorrow? What are we celebrating tomorrow? What are we celebrating tomorrow? Thanksgiving, right? I see hands being raised. Thanksgiving. All right, so they're trying to get some attention there. But you adults, what are we celebrating tomorrow? Thanksgiving, yes. I love Thanksgiving. I love it. I love this time of year. Family, food. We love food. We're really blessed. And in spite of this year, I don't think many of us can say that we've lost that many blessings. Physically or outwardly. We have our lives. We have our families. We have jobs, we have homes, we have our general health. Yes, there have been those who have experienced health difficulties, but even we've seen God bring them through those difficulties. So we are blessed. We still have food, much more than we need. That will be clearly evident tomorrow. Even 2020, with all of its difficulties, as we think back over the year, right, I saw a comic that had the father of the family standing at the table at Thanksgiving, and he said, and now we're going to recount all of the things that have occurred over the last year. And everybody at the table stands up and says, no, 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 don't do it. But even as we look back over this year, we have to admit that we have reasons to be thankful. But I want you to consider this. I want you to consider the question, is your thanksgiving or your reasons for thanksgiving really secure? Is your thanksgiving really secure? Is there something, anything that would cause you to despair of being thankful ever again? What would cause you to despair of being thankful? What if you didn't have any of these things that we do have? Our lives, our families, our homes, jobs, general health. What if your family was taken away from you? Would you be able to remain thankful? What if your health was taken away from you? Would you be able to remain thankful? Parents, what if you lost your children? Would you be able to remain thankful? Children, if you lost your parents, had to go live with someone else, would you be able to remain thankful? These are hard questions, aren't they? If any of these things happened, would your reason for being thankful be removed? Would you no longer be able to then give thanks? Would you no longer feel like celebrating Thanksgiving? See, it's important to understand where our thanksgiving comes from. That we can't have a reason for being thankful in spite of our circumstances. In spite of what is going on around us, we can be thankful because we are in Christ. Now, this is not true for those who are outside of Christ. Those who are outside of Christ have absolutely no reason whatsoever to believe that their thanksgiving will last. At best, it's temporary. It's fleeting. Many outside of Christ are going to celebrate Thanksgiving tomorrow. But they have no reason to really have that concept of eternal thanksgiving. But what about us? What about Christians? What about those who are in Christ? Do we have a reason for being thankful that will never be taken from us? And how does that manifest itself in our lives? Because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen in my own life. I'm not God. I don't know what's going to happen a minute from now, a second from now, 5 days from now, a year from now. God does. But what am I going to do when I am faced with those difficulties? What am I going to do when what I thought my thanksgiving was founded upon is removed from me? Will I still be thankful? Will you still be thankful? And how is that possible? As we come to Ephesians 5, I want to go through a little bit of context with you. If you look with me at Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 20, Paul reminds those to whom he's writing and us, as he writes to the church in Ephesus and to believers, he reminds them that they have not so learned Christ, that is, in a way that is according to the world, walking as the rest of the Gentiles do in verse 17. But in verse 20, you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him. He goes on to say in verse 23 that they are being renewed in the spirit of their mind. And how is this happening? In verse 22, they are putting off that former conduct, that old man which grows corrupt. And in verse 24, they are putting on the new man, created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That is, these are individuals who have had a radical change happen. They have been taught by Christ. They know Christ. They are united to Christ. They are being changed by Christ. The Spirit is working in them. He goes on to say in verse 25 and following that this put off and put on takes these practical ways in which it is brought forth in the life of a believer. Putting away lying and speaking truth. Not stealing but giving. Not speaking corrupt words, but only that which will impart grace to the hearers. And then as he concludes here in verse 32 of chapter 4, he says this, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." And so that brings us into chapter 5, which begins with this admonishment from the Apostle Paul. "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." In other words, what Paul is saying here is that because God has done a work in these individuals, because they are now being renewed in their mind, they're a new creation, they're putting off the old man and they're putting on the new, because they are forgiven in Christ by God, therefore, they are to imitate God. This is how you are to walk as a Christian. And Paul goes on in chapter 5, beginning in verse 3, really 3 through verse 14. And he lists all these things that are to be put off, all of these things that a believer is not to do. But then beginning in verse 15, he gives these instructions how to do this. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And the key here, the key that we're going to look at this evening, is found in verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. This is the verse that we need to consider. And when we look at verse 18, these are the two commands in our text. There's a negative command and a positive command. In fact, everything else, verses 19, 20, and 21 bring out, are not commands. But they are verbs that follow on from these commands. When we keep these commands, then this will be evident in our lives. So the two commands here, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And these things will be evident for a person who is being filled with the Spirit. We will have fellowship with one another. We will worship God together. We will give thanks, and we will walk in submission to one another. We will humble ourselves in the church. But particularly, I want to think about the work of the Spirit this evening with regard to giving thanks. With regard to giving thanks. And I want you to see that as we look at the life of a Christian, as we look at what it means to be thankful, that every day is thanksgiving for a Spirit-filled Christian. Every day is thanksgiving for a Spirit-filled Christian. That's what I want to encourage you with tonight. We'll see two things: that thanksgiving is produced in us by the Holy Spirit, and thanksgiving is expressed by us through the Holy Spirit. Well, look with me first at verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 5. Thanksgiving is produced in us by the Holy Spirit. We have here the purpose of being filled with the Spirit. Looking back at verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And then there's a contrast given in verse 18. This first command is a negative command. Do not be drunk with wine. This is the contrast to being filled with the Spirit, to be drunk with wine. Now, what is it to be drunk with wine? It means to use an alcoholic beverage, wine, or another substance, and become intoxicated, to abuse it, to use it to excess. And what happens? Well, someone who has abused wine or has abused a substance becomes confused in their mind. They're confused. They can't think straight. In fact, alcohol is not a stimulant, but a depressant. It brings a person down. Those who become drunk do not have it in their mind to obey the will of God. It causes a loss of control. We see that here. This word, which is translated in the New King James Version as dissipation, is riotous living. It's the same word that is used to speak of the prodigal son. He goes off. Riotous living. And we see what happens there. When you go off, when you lose control of your mind, when you lose control of your body, when you live in this way that is dissipation, that is riotous living, you waste everything. The prodigal son wasted everything, didn't he? You waste your money. You waste your health. You waste your relationships. You even waste your life. One commentator puts it this way: intoxication is not the effective remedy for the cares and worries of this life. It is the devil's poor substitute for the joy unspeakable and full of glory which God provides. And so we see this contrast here between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit. And the purpose of being filled with the Spirit here is to understand what the will of the Lord is. That is, not to be out of control, drunk with wine, but to be under the control of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, the final one, is self-control. Someone who is drunk has no self-control. And so Christians here are given this command: do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. This is the command. Christians are to drink deeply, not of wine, but of the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit referenced here. Christians are to drink deeply of the Holy Spirit because the Spirit renews our mind. Wine causes the mind to go places it ought not to go, but the Spirit redirects the mind to the things of God. Particularly to understanding God's will, as we saw in verse 17. Alcohol is a depressant. However, Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a medical doctor before he became a minister, he said, alcohol is a depressant, but here I would categorize the Holy Spirit as a stimulant. What does the Holy Spirit stimulate us to do as we are filled, as we drink deeply of the Spirit? Stimulate us to do God's will, to understand what the will of the Lord is. That is to love God and to love others and to rejoice in God with others. And there's a need here for this. There's a continual need for being filled with the Spirit. Now, we've learned our evening series that in Ephesians we are sealed with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, God seals His people with the Holy Spirit. That is a one-time event. But here in this text, the Greek is a present tense command. We might translate it in this way, be being filled. Be being filled. It's not be filled one time as the sealing is, but this is continually be being filled with the Spirit. But it's also in the passive. Passive, that is, we don't do it. We don't fill ourselves with the Spirit. In other words, it's let yourself be being filled continually with the Spirit. Put yourself in a place where you will be filled every day, every hour, every minute. Be being filled with the Spirit. That's the contrast. Now, true Christians can never lose the Spirit of God. They're sealed with the Spirit, but true Christians can't have more or less of the Spirit's presence. Otherwise, this command would be unnecessary. Be being filled with the Spirit assumes that you cannot be being filled with the Spirit in this way. Heidelberg Catechism, question 116, in that answer, why is prayer necessary? It says that God will not give His Holy Spirit except to those who ask Him for it. We're told in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 that as Christians we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We were sealed, but we can grieve Him by sin. By disobedience, we can actually grieve the Holy Spirit. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit, what will happen is that we will lose. Not the Holy Spirit's sealing, but we will lose the Holy Spirit's power. Which will really resort to a result in a life that is devoid of thanksgiving. We're going to see that the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit is going to be instrumental in making us able to give thanks always for all things. To God the Father. This is crucial to understand. John Stott says a grumbling spirit is not compatible with the Holy Spirit. And I think he's right. A grumbling spirit is not compatible with the Holy Spirit. We will grieve the Holy Spirit. How is it then that we can be being filled? If we're given this command, how is that possible? Well, prayer is primary in this. We don't have because we don't ask. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 7 and 8, that we are to ask, we are to seek, we are to knock. Persistent prayer. Sitting under the preached word, Jesus said, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. What is going on here? But God's people are gathered together and God is working by these means of grace. The visible words, the sacraments, of the church. But I want to ask you this question. When was the last time that you specifically prayed to God and asked Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit? When's the last time you said, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit? The command here is to be being filled. You need it. You will not be able to live without this. When you are filled with the Spirit, we're going to see here that when you are filled and being filled with the Spirit, thanksgiving will result. Thanksgiving in your life will result no matter what is going on around you. So thanksgiving is produced in us by the Spirit as we are continually being filled by the Holy Spirit, but thanksgiving then is expressed by us through the Holy Spirit. Look with me Back at Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to first ask the question, when is thanksgiving expressed? When is thanksgiving expressed? We see in verse 20 that giving thanks is expressed always. Giving thanks always. There's never a time that thanksgiving is not expressed. It's expressed often after the blessing. That's probably the most common way in which we express thanksgiving. Something happens, we are thankful, we give thanks to God. The children of Israel, after they were delivered out of Egypt in Exodus 15, we read of the song of deliverance, that great song that recognizes that God delivered them. And so we also, who are those who are brought out of bondage, brought out of sin, delivered through the Red Sea, having our enemies washed away, ought to also thank God. But it's interesting that sometimes we're called upon to thank God in the midst of trials. A more difficult thing. But Jonah in the fish's belly, Jonah chapter 2, he actually starts to pray and praise God in the midst. He is in the fish and he is praying to God and he is praising God. And then we read in verse 10 of Jonah chapter 2 that God, after this, spoke to the fish and the fish released him. And so he prays in the midst of trial. But then in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21, we read that Jehoshaphat, he begins to thank God before anything ever happens. So we see that we have the children of Israel thanking God after the blessing. We see Jonah thanking God in the midst of the trial. But we see Jehoshaphat, he is thanking God before God has even done anything. Have you ever made an effort to thank God for future blessings? Thank God for future blessings. We can do that with His Word. We know what God is going to do. Thank you, Lord, that you are going to come back and that you are going to eradicate sin and death for your people. Thank you ahead of time because we know it is going to happen. We can thank God for those things. So when is thanksgiving expressed? Always. But for what is thanksgiving expressed? And we see that here. Not only is giving thanks always, but it is for all things. For everything, for our spiritual blessings, certainly, but also for our physical blessings. For our blessings past, for present, for future. Things received and things withheld. Now, it's often easy to thank God for things received. But what about thanking God for things that we do not receive? We ought to thank God for the things we do not receive because He doesn't give them to us for a reason. Who knows what we would do if we got everything we asked for? We'd make a mess of it, I am sure. It's interesting, Paul, who is writing this, was able to thank God in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, for his hardships. Elsewhere, he was able to thank God for the chains that he was in. He was in prison, and he said, "Thank God, because I am able to preach the word of God to those who are in prison, because I'm there. God has placed me here. This is not a difficulty for me, but this is an opportunity to do God's will. Thank you, God, for not giving me freedom. Thank you, God, for placing me here, because this is your will." How do we do this? How do we thank God for things withheld? How do we thank God in the midst of difficulty? Well, we have to keep in mind that great passage, Romans 8:28. God works all things, together for good, doesn't he? And if you read on Romans 8:28 all the way through Romans 8:39, you understand that God keeps us in the midst of difficulty because nothing, absolutely nothing will separate us from Him. Paul understood that. Paul understood that because he was being filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit points us to the one to whom thanksgiving is expressed, the true God. Notice in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things, to who? To God the Father, the true God. One God in three persons. Here we're going to see the Trinitarian nature of thanksgiving. To God the Father. Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that our God and Father has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. He is the Father, we're told in James, the Father of heavenly lights from whom every good gift comes. So to whom is thanksgiving expressed? To God the Father. But also notice, not only to God the Father, but in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus taught his disciples and us in John 16, verses 23 and 24, to ask for things in his name. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." So already we see that we are led as God's people to come and give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But how is this possible? It is only possible because of the Spirit. Because being filled with the Spirit, now here is the full picture, the Trinitarian nature of thanksgiving. We come and we give thanks to the Father in the name of the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't think you can give thanks apart from the Spirit working in you. The Spirit must be working in you. When is thanksgiving expressed? Always. For what? All things to whom? The true God, one God, in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But then how is it expressed? Notice in verse 19, as the Spirit works in us, we begin speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This thanksgiving is expressed through praise. We are to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. To who? To the Lord. We praise the Lord together. But also expressed through prayer. We've already seen in verse 20, we are giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit-filled believers, understand this. Those who are being filled by the Spirit are described here as those who speak to one another in song. What are we doing here tonight? But gathering together and singing to God and for the benefit of one another. Speaking to one another, singing, so that we can hear one another and we can say, wow, there's my brother in whom the Spirit dwells, who is being filled with the Spirit, who is speaking the truth of God's word in song to God and to me. And there's my sister who's doing the same thing. Do you see the unity in the body of Christ as we come together? Believers are those who speak to one another in song. And we cannot do this if we don't come together, can we? Something to be said for the ability of technology to reach out and out there and to gather people, but you will not be able to do these things. You will not be able to be encouraged unless you are together, unless you're hearing one another. And that's where thanksgiving is most clearly expressed, in fellowship. Look with me. Then, in verse 19 again, we are speaking these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we're singing not to ourselves, but to one another. It is in fellowship that the fullness of the Spirit will always be the most manifested. As we gather together and we thank God. And our role here as fellow believers is to encourage one another in Christ. One another. It's always outward facing. We don't come to church primarily for what we can get. First, it is what God deserves. We glorify God as we praise Him. Second, it is what our neighbor needs. We speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But oh, are we blessed as well, aren't we? We're blessed as well. But notice, Paul concludes this with verse 21, which leads him into the next section in which he speaks of marriage and the submission in marriage. But here in verse 21, he's speaking of all believers. This is another to one another command. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another. See, the Holy Spirit that is filling us is a humble spirit. It's that same Holy Spirit that was in our Lord Jesus Christ. He was anointed with the Spirit, and he displayed meekness and gentleness, didn't he? He is the one who, we're told in Mark 10:45, did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve. He came to serve others. He humbled himself, even to the point of going to the cross for his people. And this is the Spirit that he sends to us. But notice here that this thanksgiving, as it is expressed together, is a major function of the church. When the church gathered together in the early days of the church in the New Testament, they gathered together to rejoice and thank God. That's what they did. We might call this coordinated thanksgiving. Coordinated thanksgiving. That's what we do when we gather together. We coordinate our thanksgiving. In fact, this word that is translated here as submitting is one that also has a military tone to it. Those who would gather in ranks and line up and walk in step. So when we come together and we worship God, we do so as those who are lined up together, walking in step in coordinated thanksgiving to our God. Because there's one people of God. We're baptized with one Spirit. We are being filled with one Spirit. So tomorrow we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. And what I want you to understand is for the Christian, every day ought to be Thanksgiving. Every day. Every day. This is because Christians are not only sealed with the Spirit of promise, we are, but we are also then being continually filled with that same Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit who enables us to express this thanksgiving at all times and for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and to God, our Father in heaven. So have you thought about this? Have you thought about being filled with the Spirit? Do you desire to be filled more and more with the Spirit? I hope you do. Do you see your need for being filled more and more with the Spirit? Do you see how being filled more and more with the Spirit, drawing nearer to God, is going to prepare you to be thankful no matter what happens? Because this is the source that will bring about these truths. There is this command here in verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit, and then these things will result. You will speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You will make melody in your heart to the Lord. You will be giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you will do so in the context of the church, submitting to one another in the fear of God. If you don't have this, then I would encourage you to seek God for it. Be being filled. Plead with God. Plead with God to pour out His Spirit on you continually so that you can, with Paul and with all the saints, truly say that for the Christian, every day is thanksgiving. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we recognize that we are weak, that we often are like those ships upon the ocean, and the waves of the difficulties of this life come and cause us to drift. Oh God, center us by your Spirit. We thank you that you have sealed us. Now we ask, God, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would encourage our hearts, that we might be those who give thanks always and in all things to you, God our Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.